This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey, hi, and welcome back, I hope, to Learning the Hard Way with the most beautiful host, Catherine McKenzie. Now, if you're a return visitor, thank you so much for coming back. I'm glad I didn't scare you off the first time. And if you're new here and you're wondering what you're missing out on, I'm about to tell you, don't you stress. My name is Catherine McKenzie and I'm your host, if you didn't gather that from the first 5 seconds. And I have had 5 jobs before I was 17. And I have learnt a lot along the way. I've made some horrendous mistakes and I've had some pretty embarrassing moments. And I thought, what best way to get over them than tell everybody possible? And also maybe help you out and remind you that any mistake you can make, I can make better. Now, I'm going to get you up to speed on what we sort of went through last time, even though you should go back and watch it yourself for the full experience. I'll spoil a little bit for you. I basically was talking about my first ever job, which I got when I was 13, and how I had the most embarrassing moment with my boss. Now, as I mentioned in the last episode, we will be moving in chronological order. So that only means that this episode has to be my second ever job, which follows very closely behind the first one. Now, I left my first job and I got my new job in 2 months, which maybe doesn't sound so close together, but that was pretty close at the time. Like, there wasn't a lot of jobs out there, and I mean, there still isn't. But for a 15-year-old then, getting a job in 2 months is pretty good. Let me tell you, in the moment, it did not feel quick. I was sitting at home, like all my friends had gotten jobs because that was now like the normal age to start working, and they wanted to go do expensive stuff because they were getting their first paychecks and I had no money. So I was not able to go with them to any of these fun events and I was absolutely losing it. And I thought, I've got to get a new job ASAP if I want to start having fun like my friends. So I was on the job hunt. I polished up that CV in like 1 day and I hopped on Seek, I hopped on Indeed, and I just applied for every single job out there. I did try to focus on like front of house because I did really enjoy it, so I wanted to stay in that realm, but I was applying for anything. I actually got made fun of by one of my friend's parents because they caught me applying for manager roles. Like warehouse manager roles. That's how desperate I was. I was thinking, like, if you think I'm qualified, then I will be as qualified as you need me to be. Like, I will pull up with all the skills I've ever learned and give you whatever you need. I was that desperate. I mean, I was applying for, like, cleaning jobs, retail jobs, manager roles, like we said, catering companies, line cooks, even though I've never cooked before, anything you could imagine. And I took the sketchiest job applications as well. I thought I might as well chuck my name in the hat and I can decline them if I really need to. And this one that I applied for was honestly like one of those sketchy ones that I was telling you about. It had like no contact details on it. Normally at the bottom it says like, email this person or phone this phone number if you have any additional questions. None of that. It didn't even label the restaurant that it was at. It just said front of house position. The job description pretty much said need to work on the weekends, need to have experience, and the grammar wasn't even right. Like, there was no capital letters. Like, somebody genuinely just chucked it on there in like 5 minutes. And I remember thinking, you gotta do what you gotta do. So I applied for it anyway. And like 2 days later, at like 1 a.m. I got a little email in my inbox, and obviously I didn't open it 1 a.m. I opened it once I'd like gone to school, so I would say it was like 9 a.m. the next morning, and it said, hi Katie, can you please come for trial 6 p.m. tonight? And that was it. The email address was so random. It was just like somebody's name and last name, like @gmail.com. I had no indicator of who this was from, and I was applying for so many jobs, I genuinely couldn't have guessed. And I remember, like, being so confused because they sent it at 1 a.m. So I was thinking, like, that's technically the next day. So it was tomorrow, like, the day after. Is tomorrow today? Like, I wasn't quite sure. And I didn't know what to respond with or, like, whether I could even make it that night because my parents had to drive me. It was just a big mess, this email. I remember thinking, oh my God, like, this is going to be a crazy job. Like, this is going to be someone crazy trying to employ me, to be honest. That's what I thought. So I screenshotted it and I sent it to my parents. And I was like, can I make it 6 p.m. tonight? Like, do you think it's tonight? What should I say? Asking them for their advice. And they were like, to be honest, I really don't want to drive you, but email back and be like, when will I be finished? Where is it? And is it today? And then we'll talk about it. So I emailed and he responded really quickly in like 20 minutes. He was like, yeah, like, we need you today. No other day. Like, there's no other day that's going to work. And it is in town. And I don't know when you're going to be done. You're going to be done whenever you're done. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. I really wanted to go because I was that down bad for a job. My parents were a bit like, oh, like, this is a bit weird, but we'll let you have the opportunity. But I was dreading it. Like, I was majorly dreading it. Simply because I'd found this news out while I'm at school. I had no time to, like, mentally prepare before I went. You know when you're like, I feel like no one looks forward to a job trial. Like, there's a mix of excitement and nervousness, I would say, but it's not something that I'm excited to go to. And whenever I have to do something that I'm dreading, even just the slightest bit, I like to plan out, like, what am I going to say when I meet the person? Should I shake their hand? What questions should I ask to make me seem really intuitive? Like, I don't know. I like to plan things out, have a little script going in my head so I don't come back and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or like, oh, I messed this up. I had like 3 hours of mental preparation time in between like school, getting home, getting changed, and leaving. So that was extra stressful. But I thought, okay, we need a job. Let's man up and do it. I go through my school day. I'm asking all my teachers for advice, which actually, they gave me some good advice. And then I am walking down to the bus stop to go home. I get on the bus peacefully. I actually get a seat this day, which is a win. And I've got probably about a 15-minute walk from my bus stop to my house. So it's a hardy distance. Obviously, the only correct thing to do is to get out your AirPods, chuck on some music, or I'm just going to be walking in silence and worrying about this trial that I've got tonight. And I go to get my phone out of my bag. One thing leads to another. That phone slips out of my hand and goes straight to the ground. I remember thinking, like, ooh, at least it wasn't that far of a drop. Bend down to pick it up. The whole thing is smashed. And I was shocked. I was like, it genuinely did not drop that far. Like, I swear, everyone thinks that I'm like fibbing. It did not drop that far. It was like maybe like 60 centimeters that it fell. And the whole thing was smashed. Like, it was on, but there was like green lines in the background. It was like moving itself. Like, random passwords were being put into my phone. And there was cracks everywhere. And I remember just thinking, oh my God, what is my mum going to say? Because I know this is not a good habit to have, but I kind of had a track record for breaking phones. Like, this was not my first time. So this is probably like my third phone that I had now dropped and broken. And my mum was just not going to have it. You know, third time is not the charm for her. So I remember like putting it back in my bag, like, thinking about what I'm going to tell her. And I thought, like, no, like, she's driving me into town tonight. She's going to be stressed out. I'm just going to leave it and we'll tell her, like, in the next couple days. Because once you've broken so many phones, you kind of learn how to survive without one. So I had a flip phone and I had an iPad and I had a laptop. And that was all I needed. So I journey back home, not listening to any music because I've absolutely smashed my phone. And once I get home, I start getting ready for this job, trial, interview, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, a big part of the trial is, like, what you wear. And me and my mum always get into arguments about this. She wants me to look very professional. I care about my dignity. No, I'm joking. I normally don't like the outfits that she's suggesting. But we have a massive, I was going to say argument. That's not the right word. No, we'll call it an argument, actually. That probably is the right word. We have a big argument about what I should be wearing. I end up in her outfit, of course. The mother always wins. And we're, like, rushing out the door because of this whole outfit dilemma. And my mum, like before we're just about to leave, she's like, do you have enough mobile data on your phone to text me when you're done? And I remember thinking, oh my God, I don't have a phone to text you with, like, let alone mobile data, probably. And I just remember being like, there's no way that I can get out of this. So I just had to tell her, and I was like, oh, I don't have a phone right now. She was like, what do you mean you don't have a phone right now? And I said, I dropped it like a couple of days ago, and it doesn't work. And she rightly so just lost it, to be honest. And what was going through her mind, probably like, how the hell does this girl break another phone? Where are we going to get her a new phone? Like, what's going to happen? I hope she still has that flip phone. I bet she was thinking that. And how is she going to text me tonight? Because I, like, had no idea what time I was finishing. Like, it's a restaurant, though, so it's going to be the evening. Could be between, like, 9, 10, 11 p.m. And it's in the middle of town. And I had nowhere to text anybody to come pick me up. So the only logical idea for us in that moment, as we're in a rush, was for her to give me her phone so that when I'm done, I can then use her phone to text my dad, who's at work, who will text my sister, who's at home, who will then tell my mum when to leave. But that does also mean that she has no phone for like 3 hours. So she very angrily gives me her phone. She's like, you better not drop that. Like, you better not drop that. And I thought, oh my God, like, I actually can't drop this. She was like, you have to tell, like, this person, this person, this person, that I'm going to have no phone for, like, 4 hours because you've got it, like, da-da-da-da-da-da. She gives me a massive lecture on the way in the car, and then the rest of the ride is silence. No tips and tricks for my interview. No even mental capacity to think about it now that I've got this phone dilemma. And it's obviously in town. We can't find a park. It's, like, 5 p.m., so I just have to hop out and go into the building. And I remember I had my trial at 5. And I didn't know, but this place started at 5. So as I was walking to the door, it was locked. And this lady, dressed in all black, she comes up to me and she opens the door. And I'm like, hi. Because I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just didn't know what else to say. And she was like, hello, can I help you? And I was like, oh, like, my name is da-da-da-da. I'm here for this trial. Like, this person was emailing me because it was like a man's name. And obviously I'm talking to a lady. So I thought, okay, maybe she doesn't know. And she was like, today? And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he said today. And she's like, wait one moment. And she shuts the door on me. She goes, like, out back somewhere, and I can see her on the phone, and she's, like, looking at me, and just, like, on the phone talking. And she seems a little bit angry. I'm a little bit worried. I'm like, I hope he didn't mean tomorrow. I hope he didn't mean next week. But he's explicitly told me there was no other day available. And then she comes back out. She's like, yeah, sorry, nice to meet you. Like, my name is this. I'm the manager. What is, like, your name? Like, what do you like to be called? And I never, at the time, like, realized, like, why she was so mad. But, like, once I worked there for a while, I did bring it up and I asked. And he didn't tell her that there was anybody coming to trial. He told her that he put up a job ad and that was it. I was just a big surprise for her. And obviously it's 5 p.m. There was no customers at the time. And I'm pretty sure she got me to, like, polish cutlery. And I remember being like, hell yeah, because I know how to polish cutlery. I mean, every restaurant polishes cutlery the same way, but I didn't know that yet because this is my second job. And I thought, yes, like, this is the same as my old job. I can polish this cutlery so good because they were really strict at my old job about fingerprint. So I'm polishing the cutlery and I'm making sure it's really good. I remember her coming and being like, you can chill out, bro. Like, there can be a couple little marks on it. Like, I just need it done quickly. That kind of ruined my confidence a little bit. So I thought, I've got to lock in on the customer service bit if I'm going to get this job. I got to lock in. The first table comes in. And she kind of gave me, like, a mini tour, but she didn't tell me about the processes. She was kind of like, oh, you can learn that later. Like, you don't need to, like, learn how the computer works just yet. And then she pointed at a table and she was like, okay, just go take their order. And it was 5 people. No notepad. No pen. And I walk over there and I'm like, hey, how are we, guys? I just want to let you know that I am on a trial today, so you have to bear with me. Like, what can I get you to drink? And they were like, do you have jugs? And I was like, jugs? Like jugs of what? And they were like jugs of, like, soda or fizzy or, like, lemonade. And I was like, oh, okay, let me go ask. And I went and asked her, like, oh, to ask if we had jugs. She's like, no, we only do it by the glass. So I go back over and they're like, we only do the drinks by the glass. And they're like, do you have raspberry lemonade though? And I'm like, oh, like lemonade with like some pink raspberry syrup in it. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I love those. Hold on. Let me go ask. And I had to like go back to take this order like 5 times because I had no chance to read the menu. Like I had no chance to look at what was in the bar beforehand. And I was, oh my gosh, I was so annoyed in my head. I was like, what am I doing? I'm doing such a bad job. But I got the job somehow. And again, I think this is like, I've said this about my first job. I don't know how I did it because that trial was so bad. But I did talk to her about where she's from because my sister visited like her home country. And I think we bonded after that and she was really excited to hear that I knew about the history and stuff. So maybe it was that, but I can tell you right now it was not the customer service because I did not have that down packed at all that day. We get the job. Yes, I am now employed, but I'm also working in town every Friday, Saturday, and Tuesday. And my parents have to drop me off and pick me up for 3-hour shifts. So I mainly did like 6 till 9. Just because it wasn't that busy, I didn't really know what I was doing yet. But it was very frustrating because I don't know if you're aware of the 5 o'clock traffic in town. It would take my mum like an hour to drive into town and drive back home just to come and pick me up in 2 more hours. It was insane. And I'm insanely grateful for them driving me for so long because, again, I was at their job for like 1.5 years and they did that for like majority of it until I got my license. Anyways, we now have the job and I've been there for maybe quite a long time. Maybe like 1 year when this story takes place. So I was doing a really big table. I'm also like in my element, by the way. I'm very comfortable now. I've got lots of friends at this job. Like I know the chefs. Me and the manager actually got along really well. I loved talking to her. And she always used to give me the big tables. Because the big tables are kind of easier to me. Like you have to do less. And the other people were quite new. And it's hard to get like rowdy, not rowdy, but excited tables of 20 to listen, you know, when it's time to take the order. So she would give me those big tables so the new people could obviously practice on the smaller ones. And I've got like a big table of 20 and it's a little girl's birthday. And I love the birthdays. And I'm always like, oh, should we do like a candle and a song? And the mum's like, yes, of course. I've got a cake for her. She gave it to me, chucked it in the fridge. She's got candles for me to put on it. Sweet. Let's go. So the night goes on and I'm seeing they're nearly finished with their mains, and I start to prep the cake. So I like to do it earlier rather than later. So I grab out the cake, chuck on the candles, and I see that they've got like this little topper on the cake, and it's like Lilo and Stitch. And it's like on sticks, and it's like on the top of the cake, if you know what I mean, like a cardboard decoration. And I think that's so cute. And I put the candles on, and I leave it, get out my plates, ready to go. Once she gives me the all clear, I obviously go to grab the cake and I bring it to the front because that's where our lighter is. And where our bar is like quite visible to people, like it's quite a small restaurant again. And I can see like her mum watching me because obviously she's going to get ready to pull up her phone camera. And at the same time, we had like quite a few coffee orders going through. Only one person knew how to make the coffees, like other than me. And that was my manager, who also seats people, takes bookings, takes payments, like makes cocktails, does all the alcoholic drinks and things. So it was a bit of a chaotic night. So I put the cake in a spot and I go to grab the lighter and it's in use. So I thought, okay, like I'll wait. And I turn around and I start to make like a coffee order that's come through because I thought I might as well do that instead of just standing here. You know, so I get like the espresso machine on, it goes and I put it in, fill it up with like coffee grounds, put on the ground, tamp it, and I put it in the machine. And then the lighter comes back to me. And I'm like, sweet, light my candles. And I thought, just before I go over there and I sing, I'll press go on the coffee machine so my espresso can pour while I'm going. So I light the candles, turn around, press go. Like really quickly, I put like the little, what do you call an espresso mug? An espresso glass? It's not a glass though, like the little mugs, you know what I mean, that you put the espresso in. Put one of those under there to catch it. And I turn back around. And you'll never guess what I see. Like, you will never guess what I see. Or maybe what I feel. But I just see a massive, like, flame. And I'm like, that is not a candle. That is not a candle. And the cardboard topper with Lilo and Stitch on it has been set on fire by the candles. And I obviously, like, everybody has a moment of shock. in my moment of shock, when I feel the heat, like I can feel the heat of it on my face and I can see it on fire, and I look up a little bit and I see the mum behind me, jaw on the floor, watching her daughter's cake be set on fire. So I take it, because now like all the kids are turning around as well on the table. I take it and I run to the kitchen. And I put it in the kitchen because I thought, like, they can put out the fire. And I'm trying to, like, blow it's not putting out. They're, like, backs turned. Like, they're, like, tossing pans. You know, they're making pasta. So they're mainly on the stove. And I'm shouting, like, one of the chef's names. I'm like, chef, chef. And he turns around. And he's like, oh, my God. He's really shocked. He's like, oh, my God, what did you do? And he takes the cake. And he, like, gets, like, a cloth. And he, like, rips the cardboard topper off that is on fire. And, like, chucks on the bench. And he's, like, hitting it over and over and over to make it like not be on fire anymore. And they were so shocked. They're like, how have you done that? Like, how possibly could this have started? Like, when you put on the candles and you lit them, did you not see that it was so close? And I was like, well, no, because I put on the candles before. Like, I didn't put on the candles and then light them. So I put on the candles before and kind of just like I was in autopilot just lighting all the candles that were already there. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to say to this lady? And they were like, the best way is just to go out there and be honest and show them the remains of the cardboard, because they've seen, like, she knows that something is coming. And I have to go out there and I have to brave the lady. And I tell her, I'm so sorry. I know you've just seen what's happened. And I'm such an airhead. And trust me, anything you want, I'll get it for free. Like, I was willing to pay for it myself. She was like, oh, don't worry. The girls loved it. They thought it was so funny. She had a birthday party last week, and I just thought I would reuse the topper since I paid for it. Oh, my God. My heart was, like, on the ground. I felt like with nerves, I felt like it just got, like, put back in my chest. I was like, are you sure? She was like, yeah, of course. Like, I know mistakes happen. Like, just chuck some more candles on it, and we'll sing a song, and the girls will be happy. And all the kids are like, well, actually 50-50. Most of the kids were smiling. There was like 3 kids that were like a little bit scared of me, I think. But she really did not mind at all. And I thought she was going to mention it to my boss because, I don't know, I just thought it was something that would come up when you're paying. Luckily, it was just the manager there anyway. And she obviously saw what happened. And I was like, how have I gotten away with that? Like, how was there, like, should we give her something? And we did give her a voucher just because of, like, she was so nice about it. But not because she complained. And I think about her a lot because she was so understanding. And it must be because she's a mother. Mothers are always understanding. It was the most stressful 5 minutes I think I've ever had, because I was so expecting to go to that table and for her to just rip in and be like, what are you doing? How did you light my kid's cake on fire? She had to watch that. But no, I went back there, grabbed the cake from the chef's, chucked on some candles and pretended nothing ever happened. And I can't wait to see you again when I talk about a job that I actually had at the same time as this one. So my next one happened simultaneously. So come back for that one, because that's a whole different issue. It was less embarrassing and more concerning. And just for a little spoiler, I did get put in a manager role after applying for all those manager jobs. I actually got one. So if you want to see how I navigated it or whether I did really well, maybe come back for next time. And I can't wait to see you then.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.